This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA. It's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
Welcome to the GSMC Sports Podcast. This episode is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. And as always, I'm your host, Jesse Tapia. And for today's show, been waiting all week for this one. Finally get to talk about the divisional games going on this weekend, talk about them more in depth. But we're not going to start off the first segment with that. We're going to start off the first segment with some NBA. Then the middle to second and third segments will be the AFC divisional games we'll be talking about in one segment, and then the NFC in the third segment, or either or, whichever one. Or maybe we'll do Saturday games in the second, Sunday games in the third. I'm not sure. And then for the fourth segment, we're going to be making my picks for the NBA games going on tonight, talk about anything else going on in sports, and then I have a couple of words about I need to say about Kevin Durant, talking about his status as not only a top player in the league, but a top player all time, like what he could be and what he's missing right now. So we'll talk about that. But like I said, we're going to start off with some basketball, so let's get into it right now. I know yesterday I talked about the Celtics and Sixers game in the middle of the podcast, but I'm just going to refresh it for everyone. Celtics won that game in London. They won 114-103. Al Horford had 13 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, shot 5 of 10. Jason Tatum had 16 points, 5 rebounds, he shot 7 of 13. Kyrie Irving, 20 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds, shot 7 of 20, 3 of 10 from the 3-point line. Not the greatest shooting night from him, or shooting day, I should say, since they played early on in the day. Jaylen Brown had 21 points, 4 rebounds, shot 8 of 15, and 2 of 4 from the 3-point line. As for those 76ers, Joel Embiid, 15 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, shot 6 of 17. Seems to not play that well against the Celtics. I think in his last game, too, he had near around 15 points again. So, I mean, just really, he doesn't play well against the Celtics for some reason. As for Ben Simmons, he had 16 points, 3 assists, 2 rebounds, shot 8 of 12. J.J. Redick had 22 points, 7 rebounds, shot 7 of 12, 5 of 9 from the 3-point line. Early on in the game, from like the first and most of the second quarter, that guy was just making anything he wanted. Dude was hitting fall away, step back, 3-pointers, just off balance constantly, and it was just ridiculous. As for Dario Saric, he had 14 points, 4 rebounds, shot 4 of 11. And Robert Covington, not a good game from him, only 5 points, 3 rebounds, shot 2 of 8, 1 of 5 from the 3-point line. The Celtics are currently 7-5 in games where they're down by 13 points or more. That's ridiculous. I don't understand how they, like, it might have to do with the fact that they got the number one defense in the league, so they don't really need to worry, but anytime the Celtics are down, even those 5 losses, I mean, they don't really lose by double digits. They'll come back and still make it a game. It's just ridiculous how they're able to, like I said, be down by so much. They were down by about, like I said, 22 against Philly early on in the second quarter, like midway through the second quarter, I should say. And then Boston just keeps chipping away, chipping away, chipping away. Then they eventually bring it down to like 9 points as the deficit at the end of the first half. Second half comes, and then they outscore Philly 37-22. And like you said, I mean, you saw the score. Boston won 114-103. How are you down by 22 and then you end up winning by double digits? It's just crazy how they've been able to do this. They're a really well-composed team. And the biggest thing I've noticed with them is that Kyrie Irving, he's not averaging 25 points, 26 points like how he has the last few years. He's only averaging around 20 to 22 points a game, I think it is. And he doesn't need to take over. Like, everyone thought beginning of the season that Kyrie was going to be the selfish player who would just take all the shots. He'd be scoring near 28 a game and stuff like that, but that just hasn't been the case at all. You got a guy like Jaylen Brown who's averaging around 19 points a game, I think it is. Jason Tatum's been a solid rookie, averaging around 14 to 15 points a game, along with like 6 rebounds, I think it is. And Al Horford is averaging almost near triple-double numbers, I feel. So, I mean, it's pretty much been a whole team effort. You got guys like Aaron Baines coming in, putting in meaningful minutes. You got Daniel Theis, the rookie from Germany, coming out, putting meaningful minutes. Marcus Smart leading the second team. Terry Rozier being a solid backup point guard for that team. So, they've really stepped it up, and they've been playing well. I mean, eventually Gordon Hayward is going to come back to this team, whether it be at the end of the season or just next year. But when he comes back, this team's going to be even more dangerous. So, we'll see how it ends up, and it's gonna be hard for the Cavs. And speaking of them, they went into Toronto, and Toronto, I was watching this game. Toronto did whatever they wanted against Cleveland for the entire game. Like, Cleveland just was not in the game at all. They said Toronto won this game 133-99. CJ Miles, he had 16 points, 5 rebounds, shot 6-12. Jonas Valanciunas had 15 points, 18 rebounds, shot 6-9. DeMar DeRozan only had 13 points in this one, had 8 assists, shot 5 of 13. Look at that. DeMar DeRozan, no Kyle Lowry in this game, okay? And DeMar DeRozan only scores 13 points in the, and Toronto beats them by about 34, yeah, by 34 points. I mean, that's ridiculous. As for the Cavs, you had Kevin Love with 10 points, 9 rebounds. He shot 2 of 8, 0 of 1 from the 3-point line. Jay Crowder, 11 points. Shot 4 of 6, did have 5 fouls though, so that limited him. LeBron had 26 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, shot 9 of 16. Isaiah Thomas, 4 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, shot 2 of 15, 0 of 6 from the 3-point line. J.R. Smith, 0 points, 1 assist, 1 rebound, 0 of 5 shooting, 0 of 2 from the 3-point line. Alright, let's talk about the Cavs for a second. This Cavs team isn't even the second best team in the East right now. Not even close to it. All right, it goes Boston, Toronto, and then Cleveland. And Cleveland isn't even like one of those like, oh yeah, like there's three great teams in the East right now. Cleveland is playing terrible. All right, last game they played against Minnesota, which yeah, I believe it was their last game that they played, they got blown out by 30-plus again. All right, this game comes. Ty Lue talks about how they had a meeting, how they figured some things out, how they're going to come out and play well. No, you lost by 34. Okay, the Cavs, remember, they started off the season really cold. Couldn't get too many wins. I think they're near the bottom of the East. All right. Then they started to heat up. Started winning a bunch of games. Ended up moving back up to second. And then now they're back falling off. They're currently 26-15. 6.5 games back of Boston for the number one seed. Boston doesn't look like they're going to be letting up anytime soon. And the three and a half games back of Toronto for that number two seed, and Toronto's playing great basketball, 15-2 at home, 14-9 on the road, 18-5 in the East. And like I said, Toronto just beat down on the Cavs without Kyle Lowry. I'm not sure what's wrong with the Cavs right now. I think it might have to do with the fact that they've had the same core team the last few years. They did bring in, like in the trade, they did bring in Jay Crowder. They did bring in Isaiah Thomas. All right. They did bring Dwayne Wade off free agency, I believe it was, and Derrick Rose. Dwayne Wade and Derrick Rose, I don't think those were really big name pickups right there. Or big player pickups right there, I should say. That's all they were. They're just names. That's it. Derrick Rose is not what he once was. Not even close to it. Never will be again. All right. He might be a role player in the league going forward. Maybe. But he's just, it's not the Derrick Rose we all used to know. All right. And Dwayne Wade is just I don't want to say washed up version of himself, but let's just say Dwayne Wade is past his prime. The best he could do for this team is lead the second team and pretty much try and contribute through there. All right, Isaiah Thomas, it looks like his hip still might be affecting him. Like I said, yesterday he shot 2 of 15, and a lot of the shots he was taking, he was hitting the front rim constantly, time after time. So, I mean, obviously, with him being, 5'9", he needs his legs a lot to shoot, and with him front rimming him, that means his legs still aren't there, aren't completely healthy, or aren't up to speed. All right, so you got that problem. You got to wait for IT to get ready. Okay, Jay Crowder, he's been so far this season. Like, that's it, just not good, not bad, just average. All right, LeBron, probably having one of his best seasons ever, but that's it. Kevin Love really hasn't done too much. J.R. Smith's hot and cold. And Tristan Thompson, I mean, looks like the Cavs might trade him at the trade deadline. So I'm not sure if they're going to try and get a guy like DeAndre Jordan at the deadline for Tristan Thompson or whatever, but they do need to make some changes because this team, like, this isn't the East of the last few years. All right. Boston's gotten better every year. Now they are the best team in the East. Toronto, I wasn't really too high on Toronto because of the fact that they really haven't really changed too much up with their team. I felt that it's really been the same team over and over, but you know what? They've all developed, even the younger guys, and I didn't expect that, but that's happened, and they are by far the second best team in the East right now, like I said. All right, so right now, I mean, you got Boston and Toronto and Cleveland, like that's the top tier of the East right there. Cleveland's not even part of that top tier. They don't play like they belong in that top tier of the East. I get that they have LeBron James. I get that he's been to, what, 7 or 8 straight finals? I get that. But you know what? Sports change year after year, and that looks like what's happening right now. Like I said, when the Celtics get Gordon Hayward back, okay, because it's not like Gordon Hayward blew out his knee or tore his ACL or anything like that. He just broke his ankle. He's already got the brace off. All right, he's been out since the beginning of the season, which was early October, and he might be coming back late March or towards the end of the season. All right. I'm not sure how Brad Stevens is going to integrate him, whether he throws him in as a starter or even if Gordon Hayward comes back. I'm just talking hypotheticals right now, but let's say like a guy like Gordon Hayward does come back and he does play well. That's even worse for the Cavs. All right. Toronto can compete with it because they have a team that can match up well with the Celtics. And it's not looking good for the Cavs right now. I mean, if they ended up finishing as a third seed right now, they'd have to face off with the Milwaukee Bucks. And I'm sure the Cavs could get out of that series. But are you going to be able to beat the Raptors in a 4-game series? Are you going to be able to beat a team like the Wizards? I'm not sure. The Cavs just aren't playing good basketball. They have to make some type of change. Otherwise, they're going to be in big trouble, I feel. So we'll see how it all ends up. But as of right now, Boston Celtics, Toronto Raptors, the top two teams in the East, and it's not up for debate. All right, next game. We had the LA Clippers facing off with the Sacramento Kings. I talked about going to this game. I did not. I got Subway instead and watched the basketball games from my living room. All right, so the Clippers won that one, 121-115. Let me go over the stats before I talk about the game. Blake Griffin had 18 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists. He shot 5 of 14. Lou Williams, another big game from him, 30 points after dropping 50 the night before against the Warriors. He had 6 assists also, shot 10 of 24, 5 of 12 from the 3-point line. And let's see, DeAndre Jordan had 8 points, 7 rebounds, only played 11 minutes in this one. Can't remember if he got hurt in this one because I was watching the Lakers game also at the same time as this one. But yeah, he only played 11 minutes. Montrezl Harrell, he took over for Jordan after he left. Harrell had 25 points, 6 rebounds, and shot 11 of 12. Montrezl Harrell is going to be a good player once, I think the Clippers are going to end up letting go of DeAndre Jordan at the trade deadline. So once Montrezl Harrell comes in for him, I mean, he's going to be a really good player for them, I feel. As for those Kings, Zach Randolph had 16 points, 7 rebounds, shot 7 of 15. Willie Cauley-Stein, 12 points, 7 rebounds. George Hill had 21 points. 3 assists. De'Aaron Fox had 8 points, 6 assists, shot 3 of 10. Off the bench, you had Kosta Koufos with 14 points, 14 rebounds, shot 7 of 8. Bogdan Bogdanovic, 22 points, 4 rebounds, shot 7 of 11. No one talks about it because they got De'Aaron Fox, they got Buddy Hield, and they got Scalabissier, Willie Cauley-Stein. Those are really the guys that get most of the hype since they've been there. Well, except for Fox and, just Fox because Labissier and Willie Cauley-Stein have been there for a while, but Bogdan Bogdanovic is the new guy they got from Europe, finally. They've been waiting on him for a couple of years, and he finally came this year. That's the Kings' best player by far, if you watch him. So, Kings really need to start giving him some starter minutes, possibly give up De'Aaron Fox's spot to Bogdanovic, because you got George Hill playing point guard out there. He might be playing the two with Fox playing the one, but I feel like you can move Hill back to the point guard spot, move Bogdanovic to either the three and have Temple play the two, and I feel there they'd be able to compete at least a little bit more, because yeah, they were. Well, let me talk about this game now. All right, so the Kings came back against the Clippers. They were down 117-115, and it's about 15, 20 seconds left. Clippers are trying to move it up to their to the Kings side of the court, and the Kings are playing solid press defense. They force, I can't remember who it was, they force whoever had the ball to throw it down the court. It's a bad pass. Kosta Koufos comes up with it. As soon as he catches it, you can already tell, like, he doesn't know what to do with the ball. He's already uncomfortable with it, all right? Looks like he's about to travel. He does take a dribble, and then he looks to his right, looks to his left, tries to give off a pass, and again, I can't remember who the Clippers defender was that stole it, but he steals it, takes it out for a dunk, and that makes it 119-115, and after that, that was it for the Kings pretty much. They had no chance at coming back, so they really just a bunch of boneheaded mistakes, same old Kings, and like I said, I think they really should think about moving Fox back down to the bench, having him lead the second team, and having Bogdanovic come up with the starters, because that is by far their best player. And as for our final game of the night, oh yeah, by the way, yesterday, I mean, I only got to make three picks since the Celtics played early on in the game when I was filming the, or not filming, recording the podcast yesterday. And yeah, so I only got to pick the Cavs, the Clippers, and the Lakers game. And I got two of those wrong. I did terrible yesterday with my picks. But this game, I picked the Spurs, and they lost to the Lakers, 93-81. This game was at Staples Center. LaMarcus Aldridge had 20 points, 4 rebounds, shot 6 of 15. Let's see, Pau Gasol had only 9 points, 5 assists, 12 rebounds. Dejounte Murray had 14 points, 11 rebounds. And I think it's Brandon Forbes had 18 points, 1 rebound, shot 7 of 12. As for those Lakers, those young kids played really well. Brandon Ingram had 26 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, shot 11 of 21. Lonzo Ball, good game from him. Actually, probably one of his better games of the season. He had 18 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, and shot 7 of 11 from the field, 4 of 7 from the three-point line. And then off the bench, you had Kyle Kuzma with only 10 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. He shot 3 of 12, but Larry Nance had a good game. 14 points, 10 rebounds, and he shot 6 of 9. Like I said, Lonzo Ball, ever since he came back, because he was injured for about a week or so, week and a half, and the Lakers were just, they couldn't do anything. They weren't looking good on offense, just were playing poorly. And Lonzo Ball comes back, and this team is starting to play a whole lot better than what they have been. And it looks like Lonzo Ball's shooting is starting to improve too. He's starting to drive in a bit, bunch more, and he's starting to shoot the ball better from the three-point line. So it's looking good for him, and it's looking good for the Lakers right now, though. I think they still do have the second-worst record in the NBA, and if they were to have that pick fall 2 through 5, then they lose it to the Celtics, and if it falls 6 through 30, I think they lose it to Philly. So really got to... I don't know. They're losing their picks. So, I mean, you really just got to develop this year and hope that you end up, like I said, just those young guys just keep developing so you don't have to worry about your draft pick next year. But that's going to wrap it up for today's, for the first segment. Excuse me, jumped ahead of myself. Next up, we're going to be talking about some of the divisional games. Let's see. I'm going to keep it a surprise. We're going to talk about Saturday games or just the AFC games. We'll see. Stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Alright, and welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. In that last segment, we talked about the NBA games from Thursday night. Let me recap the scores. We had the Boston Celtics, who played early on in the day in London against the Philadelphia 76ers. Boston won that one 114-103. Toronto played Cleveland yesterday night. Toronto won that one 133-99. Cavs got a bunch of problems they got to fix. The Clippers took... Headed up to Sacramento, played the Kings. Clippers won that one 121-115. And the San Antonio Spurs played against the Lakers in Staples Center. And the Lakers won that one 93-81. So that's how those games went. Again, I'm going to be making my picks for Friday's game. In the last segment, we'll be talking about Kevin Durant too. But for this one, I figured it out. We're going to be talking about the divisional round games on Saturday. So we'll be talking about the Falcons and Eagles game and the Patriots and Titans game. And then for the third segment, we'll be talking Saints-Vikings and then Jags and Steelers. So let's get into it. Let me start off with the Patriots and Titans game. All right, so right now the Patriots, they're favored by 13.5. I think that might be too much. And I do think the Patriots are going to win. That's my pick right there. I'll just make that pick right now. All right, I do have the Patriots beating the Titans. But let's talk about the game for a little bit. All right, so the Titans, they really, no one thinks they have any shot in the world. I don't think they have a shot. But I don't think it's going to be as bad as people are thinking. All right, I've been seeing people think, you know what, they're going to lose by 20+, they're going to lose by 30, throwing that around. Titans are getting no respect whatsoever in this game at all. No one thinks they can win. All right. And I understand that, like, why, but in order for the Titans to have a shot in this game, they're going to need to be successful running the ball. Okay, you're not going to have DeMarco Murray in this one, but that's fine, because last week Derrick Henry showed that he could be the guy. He ran the ball, I think it was 23 times for 156 yards. I don't believe he had a touchdown. Did have a fumble, but was able to knock it out of bounds, so that didn't really cost them. But like I said, I mean, in this game against the Patriots, Marcus Mariota, I don't know what's been his problem so far this season, but he just hasn't had it, you know? Just hasn't been able to look as good as he did, like even his rookie in his second year. Just hasn't played well, and has thrown way too many interceptions this year. I think he threw 15 during the regular season. That was good for second most, I believe. So he just really hasn't looked good at all. And even in the playoff game against the Chiefs last week, I mean, yeah, they came back and won it 22-21. But you can't play one half of good football and expect to beat the Patriots. That's just not how it works, okay? Against the Chiefs last week, he didn't play well in the first half. Played all right in the second half. Did throw a touchdown to himself, so that's how he ended up bringing him back. Well, that wasn't the game-tying touchdown, I don't believe, or the game-leading touchdown. But like I said, he just needs to be better. That's it. All right, because the Titans, in order for them to beat the Patriots, like I said, they have to run the ball a bunch. But Marcus Mariota needs to be way better than what he's been. You can't afford those interceptions, okay, like he threw last week against the Chiefs. You can't afford to have those, because the Patriots, in order to beat a team like that, you can't really make mistakes. You have to play your perfect game against them and hope that they struggle against you. That's how it goes. That's how it's always gone for, like, what? How long has Belichick and Brady been together? Since 2001, about? It's been about 17 seasons. All right, so you really just got to be perfect against the Patriots, and I just don't think the Titans can be. It's also going to come down to the defensive side of the ball. They're going to need to limit Deion Lewis, which I think they can. That's one of the things I think for sure they can do, is limit Deion Lewis. All right, but what scares me is their secondary. Tom Brady hasn't looked that good over the past 5 weeks or so. No one's really realizing it, but just go check his stats, okay? Just hasn't played well. And I think that in order for Tennessee to have a chance, they're going to have to force Tom Brady to beat them, as weird as that sounds. Yeah, I get it's Tom Brady. Yeah, I get he's probably one of the best of all time. But his play's starting to go down. The guy's, what, 40, 41 years old? He's not lasting until 45, I'll tell you that much. He will not last till 45. I would make a bet on that. All right, he'll probably last till he's about 43. He's got two more years, I feel, if that. Next year, and then maybe the year after. All right, because if he doesn't step up, then who knows? But like I said, as far as this game goes, Titans got to limit Deion Lewis, got to stop the run, and you got to find a way to limit Rob Gronkowski too. I think Gronkowski, like, I'm just talking about hypotheticals. This isn't what I think is going to happen in the game or anything like that. I'm just talking about what the Titans need to do. All right, I think Rob Gronkowski is going to go off for a big game, but in order for the Titans to win this one, like I said, they got to limit him. So for the Titans, it comes down to running the ball, being successful running the ball, having Marcus Mariota play better just than how he's been over the last, what, season, okay? Get Delanie Walker involved, get Corey Davis involved, get Rishard Matthews involved, and finally, get Eric Decker involved, all right? Stop Deion Lewis and limit Rob Gronkowski, and that's a solid formula to beat the Patriots right there. And as for the Patriots in this one, I mean, they really just got to be themselves. You got to try and run the ball against this tough rush defense. You got to get Deion Lewis going early, maybe get James White out there. And Tom Brady just, like I said, Tom Brady too. I get it's Tom Brady, but he's got to be held accountable too. He's got to play better than what he's been the last 5 weeks or so. All right? He hasn't looked good. He's not out here throwing for a bunch of touchdowns anymore. All right? He's throwing for about 1 to 2 a game. 2 on a good day too. It's not like 3 touchdowns on a good day. No. If Tom Brady's having a good day, he's throwing about 2 touchdowns and that's it. He's not throwing for a bunch of yards. So the Patriots really need to drop a game plan to where it doesn't fall solely on Tom Brady's shoulders to lead him back, because I don't think he could do it anymore. All right, and people are going to say, oh, it's Tom Brady. What are you thinking? Stuff like that. He's going to win the MVP. Yeah, he's going to win the MVP. He's going to win the MVP because Antonio Brown, tore his calf muscle because Carson Wentz blew out his knee and because they're just not going to vote for Todd Gurley. That's why. All right, Tom Brady is the MVP winner by default. All right, he's the MVP because other people don't believe in Todd Gurley, like I said, or they got injured. All right. This really hasn't been like a good year for MVP candidates, I feel. Like I said, he's going to win MVP by default, so it doesn't really mean anything to me. And like I said, he just hasn't played well. And that defense really needs to sharpen up, because even if they do get past the Titans, let's say you play a team like the Jaguars or the Steelers, you're not going to be able to sustain that defense where you give up a bunch of yards and you try not to give up points. All right, because that's what they've been doing all year, giving a bunch of yards and holding them to field goals and keep them out of the end zone. But you're not going to be able to do that against Leonard Fournette. All right. And especially against a team like the Jags, if they were to play each other in the AFC Championship, you're not scoring many points against the Jags, especially this Patriots offense. All right, Tom Brady doesn't play well when he's got people in his face, when he's got defenders in his face, and that's exactly what Jacksonville would do to him. And you can't give up a bunch of yards to the Steelers, because they are going to take advantage of that, and they are going to score a bunch of points. So, I mean, I really don't, after this week, I said I got the Patriots, but I really don't like their chances in the AFC Championship. I think they're going to lose in the AFC Championship. But like I said, I got the Patriots in this one, so now let's talk about the Eagles and Falcons. I was really torn on this game. I wasn't sure which way to go, and I'm going with the Falcons, though, this week. The reason I'm going with the Falcons isn't because of how well they've played, or how well they played last week, how well their defense has been playing. It's because of the fact that I have no idea how well Nick Foles is going to do. If I knew that Nick Foles, you know, I could go out there and play above average, then I'd probably go with the Eagles. But I have no clue how he's going to end up playing. I have no clue if he's going to throw for 300 yards and a few touchdowns, or if he's going to throw for less than 200 and throw a couple of picks. It could go either way, I feel. All right, but let's talk about what each team needs to do to win this game. As for the Eagles, it's pretty much get J.J. going finally. Start giving him the ball. He had a week off to learn the playbook some more, get integrated with the team more. Because like I've said over the last couple of weeks, I mean, it's difficult for you to get traded midseason to a team and have to learn the playbook and learn their offensive scheme and play well. It just doesn't really happen. Trades like that just don't really happen, where you trade, at the time, a top five running back, I feel, for a fourth round pick. Like, trades like that just don't happen. They usually happen in the offseason, but like I said, they happen in the middle of the season. So he's had trouble, I feel, trying to learn the playbook and trying to get integrated with that offensive scheme. All right, but I feel like now is the time to where he should have learned it enough to where, you know, he could become a factor in this game. Because JJ hasn't been bad, but he just hasn't been what he was with Miami, with Philly. All right, so you got to get JJ going. You got to get LeGarrette Blount going. You got to, if you're Alshon Jeffrey and Zachary, you got to get open. You got to pretty much give Nick Foles that security blanket that he needs. All right, third down's coming. It's a must-pass passing down situation. All right, you need Zach Ertz to pretty much be that guy that Nick Foles could look to and be like, oh yeah, there he is, let me throw to him. Or even Alshon Jeffrey if you're near the red zone, or if you're near the goal line or in the red zone. They got to be open for him. They got to help out Nick Foles more than Nick Foles can help him out. Okay, because I don't think Torrey Smith is going to be a factor, and I'm not really sure how much Nelson Agholor is going to do in this game. And as for the defense, you got to stop Julio Jones. That's the biggest thing right there. Julio Jones in the playoffs is money. He really hasn't had a bad game so far in playoffs since he's had like 7 or 8 playoff games, has not had a bad game yet. So you got to figure out a way to limit Julio Jones, whether that means putting the safety and corner on him too. But they got to do that. Find a way to limit Devontae Freeman a bit, because he's going to get around 15 to 20 carries a game. Keep him under 80 yards. Keep him out of the end zone. All right, so that's what Philly's got to do. Like I said, it's all going to come down to Zach Ertz and Alshon Jeffrey. If they can't help out Foles, then they really have no shot whatsoever. As for the Falcons, pretty much stack the box. Force Nick Foles to beat you. All right, that's what it's going to come down to. J.J., LeGarrette Blount, those are tough running backs right there. They run with their head down and they get a bunch of yards. All right, J.J. really, like I've said, hasn't really so far this season with the Eagles, but I feel like after this week, after this bye that they had, they're going to be fine. All right, so stack the box, stop LeGarrette Blount, stop J.J., force Nick Foles to throw the ball. All right, force him to throw it against guys like Desmond Trufant and Robert Alford. They got playing safety. Force him to throw it against that solid secondary. Make Nick Foles try to beat you. And as far as the defense goes, take away Zach Ertz. If Foles doesn't have Zach Ertz, then all he's got is Alshon Jeffrey. Torrey Smith isn't reliable, and you're not really sure what you're going to get from Nelson Agholor week in and week out. So take away Zach Ertz. Give him Jeffrey and you'll be fine. Zach Ertz is pretty much that consistent, reliable player for both quarterbacks, meaning Carson Wentz and Nick Foles. Whenever they're in trouble or they need to get some yards, Zach Ertz has always been that guy. So you got to find out a way to limit him. And like I said, stack the box. So that's what the Falcons got to do. Like I said, I got them winning, but it's not going to be as bad as everyone thinks. Everyone's pretty much taken away their respect from Philly, talking about how they really have no shot because Nick Foles is a quarterback. That's not the case at all. Nick Foles isn't a bad quarterback, but he's not a great one. He's like who is he like? He's pretty much just like a better version of Blake Bortles, I guess you could say. It's just I'm not even sure about Nick Foles, man. I mean, he played well in his first game that he started with Philly this season, and then that Raider game just scared me. All right, that Raider game is why I'm pretty much, not the sole reason why, because obviously I just talked about what's going to happen in this game, but just that Raider game just really pushed me away from Nick Foles. But like I said, he could play well, or he could just play terrible, so we'll see how it is, but I got the Falcons in that one. Next up, we're going to be talking about the Saints and Vikings game, and then the Jags and Steelers game. Those are going to be fun picks to make right there. Those are probably the toughest picks to make for this weekend's game, so stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA, from the UFC to extreme cage fighting. They got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
The GSMC Sports Podcast. In that last segment, I made my picks for the Eagles-Falcons game and the Patriots and Titans game. As you can probably already guess, I did pick the Patriots against the Titans, and I did pick the Falcons against the Eagles. All right, I understand why in the Patriots and Titans game, why everyone thinks the Titans have no shot. I get that. I understand it. I agree. All right, I'm not sure I agree with the fact that everyone thinks it's going to be a huge blowout. I think it's going to be closer than people expect. Not like 5 points close or anything like that, but it'll be like around 10 points close, you know. And as for that Eagles and Falcons game, I did pick the Falcons, but we need to start giving a little bit more respect to the Eagles. They're not, like, this game isn't over before it starts. It's not one of those games. The Patriots and Titans game, yeah, that's probably it right there. The game that's over before it starts. The Eagles have a shot at winning this game, all right? I'll tell you that much. And even though I did pick the Falcons, I know I'm more torn about my picks for these next two games that I'm going to be talking about. But the Eagles, like, they do have, like, they are the number one seed for a reason, okay? It wasn't just Carson Wentz out there who was doing everything. Defense was playing well, receivers were playing well, and the running backs were playing well. This was the most complete team in the NFL. So, I mean, it just really, like I said, Alshon Jeffery and Zach Ertz just have to get open and have to help out Nick Foles more than he can help out them. All right, you know what? I was looking through ESPN, and man, this Jimmy Garoppolo hype train is rolling. That guy is everywhere. I'm not hating or anything like that. I'm just saying, man, six games, and he's the truth. But, I mean, he did look good, so we're going to have to wait and see next season how they do. John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan did do a good job as the GM and coach. GM, then coach, I guess you could say, so I'm not saying they both are or whatever. You get what I mean. But, yeah, the 49ers, I mean, Could be a good team next year if they get this draft right and fix up the final pieces that they need. But let's talk about the teams currently in the playoffs. Let's talk about the Sunday games. Let's talk about Saints-Vikings first, since that's the first. That's the second game of the day. So yeah, it still goes Saints-Vikings still. All right. This game, I think people are overthinking it, meaning there's way too many people thinking that the Saints are going to win this one. I'm willing to go out on a limb saying that, not on a limb, I guess, since the Vikings are the number two team in the NFC, but they need a whole lot more respect than what we're giving them. Vikings are winning this one, and I have no doubt about it. This is, you know what? I could just be an easy person and just make the Patriots and Titans my lock pick of the week, And you know what I'm going to be doing? I'm going to make that thing. I'm going to make my lock pick of the week a thing. All right? So that's what we're going to be doing. But obviously, I got the Patriots winning. But I'm so sure about the Vikings beating the Saints that that's my lock pick of the week. Lock it down. Tell everyone about it. Record this segment. All right? It's going to happen. The Vikings are going to beat the Saints. And this isn't going to be a blowout or anything like that. All right? It's just the Vikings defense. Like, from what I saw last week against Carolina, against the Saints, they did have the formula to beat the to beat New Orleans. They did have it. They stopped Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram, right? They limited them to only about 43 rushing yards combined and about 20 yards receiving from both of them combined, I mean. Okay? The only problem with Carolina, I've been saying it all weekend, I'm going to say it again. That secondary was bad. They let Ted Ginn get open all over the place. And I understand Michael Thomas, he had a big game. He's a top three receiver to me. And I get that, but they just really had no shot in that game because of the fact that they couldn't cover anyone. All right, and it was too little, too late from that Carolina offense. Minnesota, they do have the linebackers in the front seven to stop Kamara and Ingram. They do have that. I'm not sure that Kamara and Ingram are going to play as bad as they did last week, but I don't see them both having 100-yard games like they've been doing all season. I don't think that's going to happen. I still think they're going to be limited, but not as bad as they were last week, okay? And if they're able to limit those two, I don't think this is one of the best secondaries in all the league, all right? Michael Thomas and Ted Ginn. Michael Thomas could go for around 100 yards in this game, but he's not going to have 9 catches, 130 yards like he did last week or whatever that was. I know it was high around there, okay? He's not going to do that. Ted Ginn is not going to have the game he had last week. I'll tell you that much right now, okay? This Viking defense is going to show up at home. This is a big game, all right? If they win this, then they have a good chance of playing the NFC Championship at home if the Falcons beat the Eagles, and then boom, you get the Super Bowl at home. All right, so the Vikings, they're going to have a lot of momentum on their side already. Home field advantage and one of the best defenses in the league, probably the second best defense in the league, all right? I think that they're going to be able to limit this Saints offense, and as far as the Vikings offense goes, I think I saw someone on ESPN where the Saints are going to be missing, I think, 5 starters on their defense. And their pass rush has really just been non-existent so far this season, except for Cameron Jordan. All right, and I think Case Keenum, like, so far this season, I really haven't given Case Keenum the respect that he deserves. He's been playing well, but I've just been, it's Case Keenum, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. And I'm changing that. I believe in Case Keenum now. All right, at least for this game. I don't expect him to go out, throw for over 300 yards, 4 touchdowns, or anything like that. I expect him to go out and have a safe game, 250 yards, probably a couple touchdowns, all right? And I think that is going to be enough from him, all right? Because you got guys like Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs, Kyle Rudolph. You got Jerick McKinnon, Latavius Murray, who have played well so far this season. Imagine if this team had Dalvin Cook. Man, they'd be so much better. And, like, they're already good, like I said. I'm not trying to take anything from Latavius Murray or Jerick McKinnon. They've both been extremely productive running backs this week. If one didn't produce, then the other did. That's how it's been all week. Or all season, I should say, I mean. But imagine if they have Dalvin Cook. That guy was going to be good. He was showing the signs that he was going to be really good. But he just had to go and tear his ACL. All right. But for this game, like I said, Vikings defense is going to show up. Saints aren't going to be able to throw the ball like they did last week. And I don't think Kamara and Ingram are going to be as explosive as they have all year. Okay, so I think I always pick the defense. Defense always wins games, all right? Defense wins championships. It's true. Remember that Super Bowl where it was the Broncos' number one offense against the Seahawks' number one defense? That game ended in a blowout, if you don't remember. Everyone was shocked. I was shocked. I knew the Seahawks defense was good, but I didn't think that they were going to be that good against that number one offense. You always got to go defense in every pick that you make. All right. Well, not every pick, because that's kind of tough. There are teams with, like, just both defense aren't that good. But right here, the Vikings have the second best defense in the league. So that's one of the biggest reasons why I'm going with them. Like I said, lock it down. This is my lock pick of the week right here. This is the one I'm most confident in, I should say. Well, I'm most confident in the Patriots one, obviously, since the tie-ins, but that's too easy. I'm going with the Vikings against the Saints. All right. Let's talk probably game of the weekend right here. Steelers-Jags. First time these two teams played. Jaguars made Ben Roethlisberger look like he hated football, look like he didn't have it anymore. That's exactly what he said after the game. Maybe I just don't have it anymore. The Seahawks had him questioning that. The Jaguars. I'm stuck on thinking about their defense now. But the Jags also limited Le'Veon Bell to 15 carries for 47 yards. All right. And I don't think this game is going to be a blowout like how it was last time. But I'm not sure how confident I am in this Steelers offense against this Jacksonville Jaguars defense. Like I said, I always go defense when I'm picking games if it's going to make a difference. Defense right here is going to make a difference. The only reason why I'm kind of iffy on picking Jacksonville is because Blake Bortles is their quarterback. Blake Bortles just needs to play average in this game. He doesn't need to be great. You don't need 3 touchdowns from him. You don't need 300 yards from him. You just need no interceptions. Throw for more than 100 yards. All right? Don't run for more than, like, running, like, last week, he ran for more yards than he did throwing the ball. Be better. They need at least 200 yards from him and at least a touchdown. If Blake Bortles doesn't throw an interception in this game, then Jacksonville's going to win it, I feel. All right, because I think that front seven is going to be able to limit Le'Veon Bell. Like I've been saying all week, I think that the Jags need to put A.J. Boye on Antonio Brown. He's not at 100%. He's still playing with a torn calf muscle. All right. Antonio Brown is the best receiver in the league, but he's going to be limited. And A.J. Boye is the top 5 corner in this league. So that's why you put the number 1 corner in the league and Jalen Ramsey on Juju Smith-Schuster. All right. You have him stop Juju. If I have to take Jalen Ramsey, if I have to pick between Jalen Ramsey and Juju Smith-Schuster, I'm taking Jalen Ramsey 10 times out of 10, and Juju Smith-Schuster has been incredible so far this season. I don't know how the Steelers do it, but they always manage to find good receivers, but I will take Jalen Ramsey versus anyone in this league. All right, so it's really going to come down to, I've been saying all week that the X factor is Juju Smith-Schuster, but it's going to be Martavis Bryant. That's the X factor for the Steelers on offense. All right, because you're going to have A.J. Boye, whether it be on Brown or Smith-Schuster, and you're going to have Ramsey on either Brown or Smith-Schuster. All right, it's going to come down to Martavis Bryant. In order for the Steelers to have a chance at winning this game, Martavis Bryant needs to have a good game. Like I said, Le'Veon Bell's probably not going to go for 47 yards like he did last time, but I don't think he's going to be hitting 100 this week. Barely, probably not even 80. All right. This Jacksonville front seven is the real deal, and they are going to get to the quarterback. Big Ben needs to make better decisions than he did in that first Jacksonville game. If he doesn't, then they have no shot. In order for Pittsburgh to win this game, they need to put up at least 17. If they get to 17, then they got a good shot at winning it. All right, but you know what? On the other side of the ball, you got to stop Leonard Fournette. He had one of his best games of the season against the Steelers. You got to figure out a way to stop him. TJ Watt has to be ready, all right? And the rest of that front seven needs to be ready. And this secondary, I'm not sure if they're going to be able to keep up with the speed of this Jaguars receiving core. You got a quick guy like D.D. Westbrook. You got Marquise Lee out there. And you got Allen Hurns, who's been out there for a few years, all right? The Steelers, when Jacksonville drops back for a pass, the Steelers have to be in Blake Bortles' face. Make him uncomfortable. Make him try and be a real NFL quarterback. All right, that's your ticket to winning right there. Having Blake Bortles play his worst game of the season. You have to force him to play terrible. Because I'm not sure if they're going to be able to stop Leonard Fournette. All right? And like I said, this game isn't going to be how it was last time. The Steelers are going to play a whole lot better than how they did last time. But I'm not sure them playing a whole lot better is going to be enough for them to win this game. All right? I'm really making this pick just thinking that Blake Bortles is going to be average enough to where Jacksonville has a chance to win. But as far as Pittsburgh goes, I just think that them playing a whole lot better than they did last time still isn't good enough to beat this Jacksonville Jaguars defense. All right. It's going to be tough for both teams. It's going to be a good game, but I got Jacksonville in this one. I'm not sure how Big Ben is going to play. I don't think he's going to be throwing 5 interceptions or 4 interceptions how he did last time, but he's going to throw a couple of picks, I feel. So it's going to be interesting to see. But once again, I have the Jaguars and I have the Vikings. Again, lock down that Vikings pick. It's happening. And to recap my 2 other picks, I got the Patriots and I got the Falcons. But stop sleeping on the Eagles so badly. It's not going to be as bad as you guys think. All right? So that's going to wrap it up for this segment. Next up, we're going to be making my picks for the NBA games for Friday. We're going to be talking about Kevin Durant and anything else going on in the world of sports. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Podcast. These last couple of segments, we talked about the NFL divisional round games, and I made my picks for each, so let me recap those. I got the Falcons beating the Eagles, the Patriots beating the Titans, the Vikings beating the Saints, and the Jags beating the Steelers. Those are my picks. I'm probably going to get three of those right. There's one I'm kind of on the fence about. That one is the Jags and Steelers game. That's probably the toughest game to pick. It's going to be the game of the weekend, but I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to stick with the Jags. Now, let's make my picks for the NBA games going on Friday night. We got the first off, we got the Utah Jazz facing off with the Charlotte Hornets. This is a tough game to pick. Both bad teams. Both got solid point guards. Well, I mean, no, Donovan Mitchell doesn't play point guard. Never mind. Ricky Rubio is not solid. He's okay. All right, so you know what? I'm going to go with... this is a tough one to pick right here. I'm going to go with... Charlotte. I don't feel good about that pick at all. I'm going to go with Charlotte. They need a big win, right? They need to pick up a win. I think they're going to stop this little losing skid that they've been on. So I got Charlotte Hornets beating the Utah Jazz. Next up, we got the third best team in the East, as in the Cavs, facing off with the Indiana Pacers in Indiana. Cavs just got blown out by Toronto in Toronto. It's a back-to-back. Oh, Victor Oladipo is back. I got the Pacers. Pacers are playing better basketball right now when Victor Oladipo's out there. Cavs just don't look good. They haven't played well. I'm not sure what it is that they need to do. I think that they need to make a trade, probably get a guy like DeAndre Jordan at the trade deadline, but I'm not even sure what that's going to do for him. All right, DeAndre Jordan isn't like a game-changing player for a team who is playing poorly. So I'm going to go with the Pacers. Victor Oladipo is going to play well, and the Pacers are going to pull out the win at home. Then you get the Orlando Magic facing off with the Washington Wizards. Magic have been real disappointing this season. They're like the Sacramento Kings of the East. They got a bunch of young players, but they just don't compete. All right, so I'm going with the Wizards against the Magic. Then you got a battle of the Brooklyn Nets versus the Atlanta Hawks. I'm going to go with the Nets. All right, Spencer Dinwiddie's been playing well. Hawks really don't intrigue me much, so I got the Nets. Then we got the Golden State Warriors facing off with the Milwaukee Bucks. Let me check this injury report for the... All right. So I don't think... All right. So Steph Curry's questionable. That's all I needed to see. I'm going with the Golden State Warriors. Think Kevin Durant's going to go for a big game. Speaking of him, we're going to talk about him after I make these picks. So yeah, I got the Golden State Warriors beating the Bucks. It's going to be a fun one to watch. This one's in Milwaukee. It's going to be a close game, I feel. Then we got the Knicks facing off with the Timberwolves in Minnesota. I get the Timberwolves in this one. They're playing good basketball right now. They're finally starting to put it together. They're starting to be more consistent than what they've been. Knicks, they're kind of on the downfall right now. So I get the Timberwolves winning that one. All right, then we got the Trailblazers facing off with the Pelicans. This is going to be a fun game right here. Let me see if Anthony Davis is still out. All right, so it's looking like he's going to miss the game. I got the... Let's see, Damian Lillard, he's day-to-day too, so he might be out. I'm going to go with the Pelicans. Okay, yeah, I got the Pelicans beating the Trailblazers. I think Rondo, Drew Holiday, Etwan Moore, and DeMarcus Cousins are going to have good games. Then we got the Memphis Grizzlies facing off with the Denver Nuggets. I got Denver in this one. They're by far the better team, even though they're both under 500, but I'm going with the Nuggets. Then, for the final game of the night, this is the second game on ESPN. The first game on ESPN tonight is the Warriors and Bucks. Second one is the Rockets heading into Phoenix facing off with the Suns. That's a brutal game right there, but this is an easy pick. I might get about 75% of these right. I'm not even sure how many I'd have to get right for 75%, but we'll find out. I got the Rockets beating the Suns. Right now, Chris Paul's been playing well. Gerald Green's been playing well. Eric Gordon's been playing well. Clint Capella has been looking like one of the better centers in the league. Not the best or anything like that. One of the better ones. All right. Suns got Devin Booker. They got TJ Warren, but they're just not going to have enough to beat this Rockets team. So I got the Rockets winning. Now to recap them all. Let's go. I got the Hornets beating the Jazz, the Pacers beating the Cavs, Wizards beating the Magic, the Nets beating the Hawks, the Warriors beating the Bucks, the Timberwolves beating the Knicks, the Pelicans beating the Trailblazers, the Nuggets beating the Grizzlies, and the Rockets beating the Suns. Those are my picks. Let's see how many I get right. Now let's talk some Kevin Durant. All right, so I've been seeing over the week talk about him, how when he finishes career, how good he's going to be. Will he be a top five player or anything like that? Kevin Durant is probably one of the weirder cases for talking about a player who has the tools to end up being a top five player all time. But see, it's weird because Kevin Durant is not a leader. All right. He isn't the guy who wants to, he doesn't want to be the guy. He shies away from it. All right. And I saw a little comment. It's not a big deal or anything like that. But I saw it was between Steph Curry and Kevin Durant. They were both asked if they would want to be the person who drafts the All-Star team for their respective league or whatever, all right? Steph Curry said, yeah, I'd love to do that or whatever. Kevin Durant goes out and said, no, I don't want to do that. Have someone else do it. All right, and it's not a big deal or anything like that. But that just shows right there. All right, Kevin Durant is the best player on the Warriors, but it's Steph Curry's team. It's always going to be Steph Curry's team. All right, usually the best player on the team, it's his team. All right, that's always how it goes. That's always how it's been. But Kevin Durant, for some reason, I don't know if it's him being afraid to lead or he just isn't a natural leader or anything like that. But that has, like, I feel like that has to do, like, this all ties into the whole could Kevin Durant end up being a top five player. He could have the stats to be a top five player, but I don't think he's ever going to be regarded as a top five player. All right, he doesn't have the killer instinct of a Kobe Bryant, all right? He doesn't have the dominance of a guy like Michael Jordan where you're scared, like you show up and you know, oh, Michael's here, we have no chance, all right? He's not like a, he just doesn't have it. That's it. He's just always going to be regarded as a player who played really well, all right? But I think he, when it's all said and done, by the way he's going, he probably could end up being a top five player, but I don't think people are going to share the same thought as me. I think people are just going to see him as a guy who, you know what, was always the second guy on the team. Was the best, but was second. Never wanted to lead, never could lead, you know? So it's just, I don't really understand why Kevin Durant, I mean, it has to do too with his whole, like the guy, he's soft. Kevin Durant's soft. That's what it is. Kevin Durant is soft. The fact that he had a Twitter account, a separate one, where he had to defend himself against just fans like you and me. Well, I've never said anything bad about Kevin Durant on Twitter or whatever, but the fact that like he was out there pretending to be someone else, defending himself on Twitter, just, that's weird. The guy, Kevin Durant, is one of the best players in the league right now, probably the second best player in the league, but he's soft, and he's always probably just going to end up being that guy who could never lead, who never took over a team, all right? Because like I said, this is always going to be Steph's team. Kevin Durant is always going to be the second guy on the Warriors. He'll never be the first, all right? And it's going to be just, it's kind of, I don't know. It's weird how Kevin Durant is regarded in the league. Like, he should be the best player in the league, thought of. But everyone's always going to point to LeBron James. And LeBron James, like, I understand why he's the top player in the league right now, but I don't know. It's just Kevin Durant has always just been that weird player in the league that you just never really understood, you know? But that's all I got to say about Kevin Durant. Let's see anything else going on in sports right now. The Cavs really just aren't looking good. Steph Curry might be playing today. Raiders are being investigated by the NFL for impossible violation of the Rooney Rule. And, I mean, as far as that goes, teams usually do violate the Rooney Rule in the way where they'll bring in a minority candidate, they'll interview him, but they already know who their guy is. I feel like that happens way too often. So I feel like something needs to, I'm not sure what it is, but something maybe needs to be fixed with the Rooney Rule in order to get these guys, like, real chances, these minority coaches, all right? Because there's no doubt that the Raiders just brought some guy in, some minority coach in, interviewed him, and they're like, all right, now we're going to interview John, then we're going to give him his contract, all right? That's no doubt. I have no doubt about that. That's how that went, all right? But the NFL just really needs to figure out a way to really have teams truly use it, you know? Because it's a good rule. It's got good merits to it and stuff like that. But it's just teams are just finding out ways to get around it. So that's what's going on right now. Let's see. Houston Astros, they're getting Gerrit Cole from the Pittsburgh Pirates. That pitching rotation just got even better. It's going to be a good pitching rotation to compete with the Yankees lineup. Let's see. Anything else going on in the world of sports right now? I think that's pretty much it. Deion Waiters is facing season-ending surgery. He's going to be out for the rest of the season, it's looking like. That's pretty much all that's going on. I mean, like I said, Cavs just aren't looking good. Celtics are the best team in the East. Warriors are probably the best team in the league, maybe. Let's see. Anything going on in the NFL right now? Sam Bradford might be activated for the game between the Vikings and Saints, but I'm sure that's just going to be as a backup. I don't even know why they'd activate him. I just keep Teddy Bridgewater out there. Bills fired their offensive coordinator, Rick Dennison. I think that is a smart move. That offense just wasn't that good this season. I really hope that they don't end up making Nathan Peterman their starter next year. I don't think he's going to be a good quarterback. And let's see. Oh, yeah. Bears retained Vic Fangio, gave him a 3-year contract extension. That's their defensive corner. That's a big move right there. Bears are going to be really good next season. They're going to be competing for the wild card. I am making that pick now. They're going to be competing. They're not going to, I'm not saying they're going to make it. It's all too early to make picks and all that stuff, I mean. But they're going to be a team who competes well next year. They're going to win a bunch of games, I feel. They'll probably be like around a 9-win team next season. So that's pretty much all that's going on in sports right now. That's going to wrap it up for today's show. First up, we talked about the NBA games from Thursday. Recap those. And then for the middle segments, second and third segments, we talked about the divisional games going on in the NFL. Made my picks for those. And then for this segment, we made my picks for the NBA games going on Friday night. Talked about Kevin Durant. Talked about how he's soft and how he just isn't a leader. And then we talked about just pretty much other news and notes going on around in the world of sports. So thanks for listening. We'll be back Tuesday. So thanks for listening to the GSMC Sports Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jesse Tapia. Like I said, we'll be back Tuesday. So stay tuned and we'll talk to you later.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.